Also, we had to admit that John Arnold was ill-suited for the job of chief engineer. Arnold had impressive credentials, but at this point in his career he was tired, and he was a fretful worrier. He hadn't been organized, and he had missed things, important things. In truth, neither Wu nor Arnold had had the most important characteristic, Hammond decided, the characteristic of vision. That great sweeping act of imagination which evoked a marvelous park, where children pressed against the fences, wondering at the extraordinary creatures come alive from their storybooks. Real vision. The ability to see the future. The ability to marshal resources to make that future vision a reality. No, neither Wu nor Arnold was suited to that task. And for that matter, Ed Regis had been a poor choice, too. Harding was at best an indifferent choice. Muldoon was a drunk. Hammond shook his head. He would do better next time. Lost in his thoughts, he headed toward his bungalow, following the little path that ran north from the visitor center. He passed one of the workmen who nodded curtly. Hammond did not return the nod. He found the Tikan workmen to be uniformly insolent. To tell the truth, the choice of this island off Costa Rica had also been unwise. He would not make such obvious mistakes again. When it came, the roar of the dinosaur seemed frighteningly close. Hammond spun so quickly he fell on the path, and when he looked back he thought he saw the shadow of the juvenile T-Rex moving in the foliage beside the flagstone path, moving toward him. What was a T-Rex doing here? Why was it outside the fences? Hammond felt a flash of rage, and then he saw the Tikan workman running for his life. And Hammond took the moment to get to his feet and dash blindly into the forest on the opposite side of the path. He was plunged in darkness. He stumbled and fell, his face mashed into wet leaves and damp earth, and he staggered back up to his feet, ran onward, fell again, and then ran once more. Now he was moving down a steep hillside, and he couldn't keep his balance. He tumbled helplessly, rolling and spinning over the soft ground, before finally coming to a stop at the foot of the hill. His face splashed into shallow, tepid water, which gurgled around him and ran up his nose. He was lying face down in a little stream. He had panicked. What a fool! He should have gone to his bungalow. Hammond cursed himself. As he got to his feet, he felt a sharp pain in his right ankle that brought tears to his eyes. He tested it gingerly. Oh, it might be broken. He forced himself to put his full weight on it, gritting his teeth. Yes! Almost certainly broken. In the control room, Lex said to Tim,
I wish they had taken us with them to the nest.
It's too dangerous for us, Lex, Tim said. We have to stay here.
Hey, listen to this one.
He pressed another button, and a recorded tyrannosaur roar echoed over the loudspeakers in the park.
That's neat, Lex said. That's better than the other one.
You can do it too, Tim said. And if you push this, you get reverb.
Let me try, Lex said.
She pushed the button. The tyrannosaur roared again.
Can we make it last longer, she said.
Sure, Tim said. We just twist this thing here.
Lying at the bottom of the hill, Hammond heard the tyrannosaur roar bellowing through the jungle. Jesus! He shivered hearing that sound. It was terrifying, a scream from some other world. He waited to see what would happen. What would the tyrannosaur do? Had it already gotten that workman?